This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Happy Friday, everybody. It is Dukes and Bell. We got more NBA playoffs tonight. Cleveland down 0-2, taking on the Pacers in Indiana. And then OKC travels to Denver. That's a league game tonight. Mike asked me, he said, hey, is the Knicks tonight? And we were like, we both thought that was tonight. It's tomorrow.
Saturday at the Garden. Yeah.
3:30, man. And look, Boston loses tomorrow, it's a wrap. Forget about it.
Well, it's funny because Vegas, we said this the other day, they keep making Boston the big favorite. They're doing it again for game three.
They are.
Everyone thought, you know, and it's funny because Boston, well, they were, and they got the beat down again, and they blew it the same way. Reliance on the threes, couldn't hit anything, 10 of 40, and they were 10.5-point favorites. Conversely, it was at Oklahoma City. They dropped the hammer. They were 10.5-point favorites, and they did what they're supposed to do. So as we said yesterday, I just don't know if you're Joe Mazzulla, you're going to say, all right, guys, you know how we've been taking all those threes? If you're not hitting them, we're going to stop taking those threes, and now we're going to work on intermediate jump shots. We're also going to get a time machine, and you're all going to grow up in Europe, so you're now going to make those shots. So, no, it's just it's kind of like, look, either they make the three because the coach – and I know he's been getting crushed up in Boston. We were talking to our good friend Fred Toucher the other day off the air.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, like, what are you doing? How do you not see what everyone in the basketball world is seeing? You've got to be able to pivot. And then a lot of this goes back to how you started the conversation earlier in the week. Jason Tatum, you're the star of this team. You know, is no one going to have, like, a reality check at some point in a timeout about how this thing is going down the tubes?
Yeah, look, he's talented. There's no debating that. I've always questioned the toughness aspect of the team. And your team is only as tough as your leader. Mike, when you've watched this Celtic City doc that we've been watching, and you watch when they put their big three together, which is Paul Pierce, right?
Right.
And Ray Allen and KG. Guys, the culture changed when KG got there. Everybody talks about Paul Pierce.
He was an amazing
player. But the culture changed with KG. The toughness changed with KG. I'm simply saying, like, Jaylen Brown brings that element. But I just don't know the considered best player on their team, which is Tatum. And I've said, I think it's Jaylen. That's just me. But I don't know. Mentally, Mike, sometimes it's like he's scatterbrained. And to be as good as he is, you can't have these lapses, these flaws where you're just so much better than the other team, and then it just falls apart.
You know, and that's the thing. You know, watching that documentary, the mental toughness of all those guys, going all the way back to Cousy and Russell.
There's something to be said
about
it.
Through Hondo, the whole thing. And it's like, now you get, and again, yes, are you going to make that typical OG reference that this generation is soft? Yes. But then conversely, that Knicks team is not.
But that's Thibodeau and that's, the kind of players they've acquired.
That's the kind of toughness that, you know, that mental toughness. And look, say what you want. Brunson, he makes things happen. I mean, look, I know we had the debate a couple years ago about him versus Trey. Well, right now it's not really a conversation, is it?
No, he's legit, man. I mean, he's as good as they get. And speaking of tough, he's also tough. So, and I'm not saying our guy isn't, but you're right, Mike. All the questions have been answered.
But Trey's never had even close to even the supporting cast the Knicks are rolling with right now.
No, not at all. All right, we'll see what happens in those NBA playoffs. Today, Falcons rookies were on the field. I was up there checking things out, Mike. I want you to hear Raheem Morris talk about the pressure to get more sacks, because you don't think he hears us? Mm. You don't think he hears when we talk to him every week? Like, how, coach, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do? They heard all of that, guys. And he says we had to do what we had to do.
And that's got to change. And the only way you can change that is to change that. And that was a part of the process, very intentional, going out and trying to fix the edge room. And it's very intentional to go out and fix our rush to find, you know, another Terryism to find pressure players. And it was very intentional to be able to do that. And we was able to do that in the first round with those two guys that we were to add there, to be able to get those guys going, to be able to add Leonard Floyd within free agency, to be able to do some things there, to add three guys that were not here last year that you expect to have significant roles in your pass rush and your pressure players.
Pressure players. He said that's a Terry phrase, and they needed to fix the edge room. Okay, let me say this. Seeing Jalen and James on the field together, Mike, I'm sitting there and I'm going, are they going to push each other? Are they going to look at each other and go, I'm going to be better than you, and I'm going to get more sacks than you this game, and I'm going to get more pressures than you? And I only say that in a good way, Mike. Will they do that for each other?
A kind of competition. And, I get this from – again, I know people get mad at us because it's just we've had a small sample size. We're getting a chance to meet James. He's a different kind of energy. So I'm not sure what pushes the buttons. That was the debate and why his draft stock was where it was and why some folks felt it was a reach. Is he a self-starter? Is he a guy that is self-motivated? You know, and I hate to get back to, because, you know, it could be in some cases, guys, just one general manager and some guy in the media gets it and that becomes, that's now the determining factor for James Pierce Jr. He doesn't love the game. Maybe he does. He just misunderstood. Maybe how he expresses it is different than other guys. But we know he's got the speed and the height more so than the guys that we passed on that I was interested in, the Mike Greens of the world.
Yep.
But this guy is certainly from a physical tool standpoint, you're right. And then, you know, how does Ulbrich? I've always thought, you know, Ulbrich maybe over his skis as a head coach when he was pressing a service when Saleh got fired with the Jets. But I think he's a pretty good coach. I think he's got a good staff. You got Leonard Floyd. Now, I don't know if Leonard Floyd came in here to mentor someone or just came in here to get sacks.
No, he can play.
But if Leonard Floyd is interested in helping the young guys, then that's a bonus too.
Yeah. Look, you know I was in my bag because of what happened with last year when they signed Leonard Floyd. But Floyd...
Judon.
But when they signed Floyd, I was still like, why are we doing this?
Right.
Floyd, to me, is at a much better place than where Judon was when he got here. Now, he's got to show us that. But, Mike, I don't think the mentor thing... I think he's coming in here... Guys, I wouldn't be surprised if Leonard Floyd gets his 8 sacks. I'm just saying. Like, that's not going to surprise me at all. But this whole... These young guys and fixing the edge room, the only way we thrive is if they push each other. That's it. It can't be that Jalen's so much better than James, and we go, oh, we're good to go. And it can't be the other way, where James is so much better than Jalen. They got to push each other. And so I'm watching them, you know, do drills today, Mike, and I'm like, if that happens, watch out. Because that makes them each one of them hungrier. And now all of a sudden, Mike, that's when you get the tandem, and you start getting the nicknames, and you start making the highlight packages. And that's when people start getting the notoriety that they deserve that we haven't had on this defense.
Right. Now, the good news is, over the years with our defense, we had a lot of guys. At some points, it was because of the salary cap. Remember, we had Dean Pease was the coach?
Yes.
And so we were basically making lemonade out of lemons, and we actually kind of did a decent job. Now, you could argue, as we're starting to put this the commitment to defense into place and guys stay healthy, now all of a sudden we got depth, too. So, I mean, I have no idea what Braylon Trice is going to be. Unfortunately for him, he's looking up now at Jalen Walker on the depth chart and amongst others. But there's a lot of guys now in place, at least in the edge and the outside linebacker. I'm still a little more concerned about the defensive tackle, but you're cool with it, right?
Yeah. No, I am. Look, we got to see it, Mike. I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. I wish it was July right now. I know you guys don't, but that means football's right around the corner. I wish it was, because then we could see a little bit more of, you know, again, vets weren't there today. Vets will be there at the end of the month. We'll get a chance to see that. But yeah, man, look, I just feel like, again, we have upgraded our defensive prowess. Does it mean we're going to be the best defense in the league? I don't know that. But we have better playmakers, more speed, and more versatility than we've had probably, Mike, since the 17 defense was here. And that when I say versatility, guys, I'm talking about guys that you can move around and do all these different things with. And again, yes, Jalen's going to start on the edge. But don't be surprised, like on third and long, man, he's lined up over the center, and you're like, what are they doing? You know, you can use him in so many ways, and maybe he drops back into coverage because he can do that. Or maybe he's getting after it. It's just like we don't know with all these surprises that you just – you could only do so many things with the kind of personnel you had in the last few years.
Now, again, we always get into the, you know, a 4-3 and a 3-4. The 17, for guys who remember, that was the second year of the young guns that got all drafted in 16. And unfortunately, Sarkisian, we always talk about it, he just wasn't as comfortable. Just didn't have – I mean, like, look, Shanahan was a genius. He knew when to go with Freeman. He knew when to go with, like – who was our other guy? Who was a
Coleman.
Coleman, that's right. I was going to say the other name. We used to always get the name wrong, the singer.
Oh, Tevin Coleman.
The other guy.
Yeah.
But he always knew the hot hand. He always knew how to, you know, unique plays. Remember, they had Wild Sanu and things like that, in addition to getting Julio. But the defense, that's it. Real quick, just listen to the depth on this. Brooks Reed, underrated outside linebacker, former Texan. He was good. Don Terry Poe, always solid piece. Grady Jarrett, the underrated Adrian Claiborne. Vic Beasley was still pretty good back then. I know we always kind of joke. He's the punchline to a joke. Devondre Campbell, Debo. I mean, it's some good pieces. Up the backups. Courtney Upshaw. I mean, these are some dudes. So this is why, you know, you look at, like, the makeup. You don't think about it, but the rotation. Now when we rotate guys, I got to be honest. There's times the last few years I'm like, we're rotating a nobody for a nobody.
That's right.
And hopefully that changes this year.
I totally agree. 404-726-0929. Follow Mike, by the way. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow this radio show at Dukes and Bell and the station at 929 The Game, guys. Hey, plenty more to get to. Guy Talk a little bit early today, 4:20, because we got Steve Coonan coming up at 4:40. Also, we'll get in Grant McCauley next hour, and I'll let you hear what I think the most important thing said today up at Flowery Branch, coming up at 5 o'clock. You do not want to miss it.
Yeah, man. Again, guys, we appreciate your patience. A couple guys hit us up on social media. We're supposed to be at Twin Peaks today in Buckhead. I know that you hear the promos and you go down there and you're like, where is Dukes and Bell at, man? But it wasn't anything that Twin Peaks, we had some technical issues with our gear, so we got to get that straightened away. So we had to race back. We'll tell you about the race back to the studio coming up in Guy Talk.
Yeah, man. And by the way, speaking of race backs, so there was some kind of wreck. Mike, you know that overpass to get on 85 as you're coming off of 285 to get on 85? Over the Doraville area?
Yep.
So something was happening this morning, and literally traffic is backed up. So, you know, I pull my best Mike Bell. I'm just going to go another way. So I literally get back on 285, and I go, and I exit, like, you know, 2 miles down. And, you know, my ways and directions has got me going through neighborhoods and all this stuff. Who set the light, all right, at Old Tucker Road, old Norcross, whatever? Who set the light? I sat at this light, Mike, for 25 minutes, and I'm not lying. It was like, the light is green. One car, two car, light's red. Okay, that's a joke, right? Light is green. One car, two cars, light's red. I could not believe. Who sets these lights?
The sequence, that's the thing. That's why, you know, you're not supposed to speed kids, but sometimes, you know, if you're going 60 to 40, you will get all the greens.
Oh.
But getting back to that one, yeah, there is a sequence thing which does drive you crazy because it's based on the volume. That's why you see those little metal strips, and sometimes they'll put those little red, they'll put those little pieces of rubber across.
Well, they got this one wrong.
And so somebody's got to go back and work the numbers on this. And, you know, Day-Day started this. We'll continue what grinds my gears with some Guy Talk coming up next because we came across last night. Getting out of this building, I got to tell you, you want to talk about me being a race car in the red?
Oh, I flew out. What happened?
Different exit strategies to be continued. We'll explain all this, and also I've got
some... Can we get the lights reset, please?
Well, that gets back, so that's DeKalb County then, right?
Yes, it was awful. DeKalb, I'm not even gonna lie to you.
Get your sequence right. And then I've got a question. It's an Airbnb question, and I got an issue, and I want to put this to the panel today. Dom is punching up the buttons for Oren, who's going to completely milk that paternity leave, and we got Day-Day back there obviously running the show. So we'll talk about this coming up in Guy Talk. How's that?
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40.
period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
But a play is play. Coming up in 5 minutes, the latest on Bill Belichick and a guy that's got a pretty interesting exclusive expose, if you will, about the zesty Jordan Hudson and Belichick. That's coming up here in Guy Talk. It is Dukes and Bell. As we mentioned, we did have to skedaddle today. It happens occasionally when you have technical snafus. So we were up in Buckhead, and luckily it was before like the premium rush hour really hit for the city. So we were able to kind of, you know, navigate Piedmont, take the back way from Twin Peaks and Buckhead all the way down to the studios here in Midtown. But yeah, there was still, Carl, it was a couple of lights that I kind of orange, you know, kind of just gonna, a little Fast and Furious down there.
I will every now and then take a chance depending on how big the intersection is. If it's a big intersection, I'm not doing it. Because I've seen too many people get sideswiped.
No, not like that. You know what I mean? But there's some that you with the camera.
Be honest.
The camera. It's more about the camera now.
Be honest.
The camera's not going to give you the orange benefit of the doubt.
I saw you on Piedmont.
Well, again. It was open road by Bones.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nobody on the highway.
Exactly. It really was, though. Right down
lights
there.
Were in sequence. I made it all the way down to Sydney Marcus.
Well, anyway. You beat me here. By the time I got here, Dom, honestly, he was sitting here drinking a soda, wasn't he? Oh. I mean, literally.
Well, again, if I ever get fired from this job, you know I will be a wheelman for a bank heist. Now, baby driver ain't got nothing on me, man.
But to your point, it is the cameras will, and I've had that happen to me. It happened in Marietta.
Right.
I like ran a light, and like 2 months later, I get this ticket in the mail, and I'm like, for what? Oh, that is my car. that is me taking that red light. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, that's the one. When we were in Italy, gosh, what is it, about 6 years ago, we drove from Lake Como, from Venice to Lake Como, and then down to Nice for Monaco Day. And so I'm barreling through Italy. I didn't see one cop. Didn't see one. I'm just ripping it. Get to the hotel. I'm at the bar. Meet a couple of Germans. We're, you know, exchanging. He's like, so what are you driving for? I rent a car. I was like, I had an Audi, you know, I think it was an Q6, whatever it was. And I was really cool. No, A6. It was a beautiful car. And the guy's like, well, you can't speed in Italy. I go, sure I was. I was driving like crazy, man, like Autostrada. I was like James Bond. He goes, the cameras. I'm like, what? The cameras. They have cameras everywhere. I'm like, the cameras? So I call my cousin who lives in London, and I go, is this true about this thing with the cameras in Italy? Because I didn't see like two cops the whole time. And he goes, he's like, oh, yeah, you're properly effed. And he goes, he calls me back about 2 days later. He goes, but once again, you stepped in. He cusses a lot. And come out smelling like a rose. The IT union, everything's a union in Italy, was on strike.
Believe
nobody
it.
Was manning the cameras. Believe so the only speeding ticket I got was going in from Monaco into France. And they got me for like 8 miles over the limit on the camera because the cameras are everything over there.
They are. That's a good point. But that's true. That strike thing is real, man.
Yeah. Hey, now, real quick, yesterday, so we leave the office and Carl goes north and I go south because he lives in Cobb and I live down in Coweta. But so, I don't know, so you go up like the Peachtree Street entrance?
It depends.
All right, well, the entrance over here on 14th, let me just agree.
You're talking about level two.
Level two.
Yeah.
Day-Day was grinding his gears. Allow me for a minute to bloviate on this. I don't know what the event was. They had live music here at County Square. There were a lot of people that were milling about in the green area, the common area. But there was about 25 cars jacked up at the exit. You couldn't get out.
Oh, because there's nothing worse.
And, you know, because, again, there are many people that, again, I don't know where they come from, but they struggle with the concept of put in the ticket, then put in a credit card that works. If you don't have one, the bar doesn't go up. It's a pretty simple concept. So that was what was going on. So, and there was people screaming and yelling. I was like, oh, screw this. I had to slowly, gingerly back down the ramp and then go around and go up to your exit
Peace
Street.
Yeah.
So I'm about to swing in a legal Louie. Nope, APD's right there. Can't do that. I wind up going all the way to 17th, down through Atlantic Station. I wind up on North Side because the traffic was just nuts. I wound up cutting through Georgia Tech, down Marietta, over to Sydney Marcus. If you had like a GPS thing on me, remember that the naval aviator we met at Army Navy a couple years ago? Her call sign was Picasso. Here's a fun story, Day-Day. The people that did the flyover, we ended up hanging out with all the pilots at Army Navy in Boston at Gillette Stadium.
Okay, in the stadium,
and,
yes.
And around the field with us on the five-yard line, watching Army make that famous goal line stand at the end. And so everybody I know from Delta, if they were naval aviator, they got nicknames. It's not like Top Gun. It's not like you get to be Iceman and call your own. Call me Maverick. No, it's your screw-up. We've got a buddy whose name is Torch. And the nickname is Torch because he torched the brakes on his first landing. Just cooked him all the way through. His nickname was Torch. So we met this pilot, and her family's from Atlanta. And I saw on her jacket, it said Picasso. I go, what's the backstory on Picasso? The first time she tried her night landing, apparently you never get that night landing right the first few times, had to go around off of North Carolina or wherever they were and swang around. Finally, she hits it, and now they look at her GPS and they break it down. And I guess the flight instructor, whoever the officer, goes, look at that. It's like a face with three eyes. You made a Picasso. So that was her nickname. Reason I mentioned that, if you had my GPS yesterday, it would have been like an EKG. I was zipping all, bro, I was over by the car wash. I was by the auto spa and bistro.
So how long
I'm going
did this
down tech.
How long did this delay you?
Well, it said initially I was going to get home in an hour and 10 minutes.
Okay.
I made it home in 46 minutes.
All right.
But it was funny. I round up over on North Side, over by Mercedes-Benz. Meant to give a shout out. The guy's name is Hubert because I was going North Side all the way down to university. I got my shortcuts. So anyway, shout out to Hubert. He has his own limo service. And so he was sitting there in an Escalade. So I got the top down, music's blasting, and all of a sudden here, and he goes, hey, Mike Bell, what are you doing over here in the hood? His words, not mine, Day-Day. So I'm just, at this point, I'm just so aggravated. Yeah. I go, tough day over here, man. I was trying to find some crack to take the edge off.
Okay, stop it. That's not fun. Stop.
He laughed. He knew it was a joke. He goes, I love you and Carl. You guys are a trip.
Don't believe him, man. Don't believe him.
It was a joke. You think he went back to the garage and said, Mike Bell's looking for some rock?
We're going to be out next time. Somebody going to be like, yo, man, I got you right here.
It was a joke.
I got you.
It was a joke.
Heard you looking for that rock, Mike.
Hey, man. Peace. How low can you go?
Yeah.
No, on to Bill Belichick, segue. So this story came out from a guy you know pretty well, Pablo Torre, who used to be on ESPN
a
lot.
When I saw this, somebody hit me up this morning and said, Pablo is going with this story. And I texted him and said, this can't be. And he's standing by it. And that was at 8 o'clock in the morning.
He says that he's spoken with intimate members of the Belichick family. Not going to say who, but members of the Belichick family who basically say they're concerned for Bill's mental health and this Jordan Hudson. And then we find out that North Carolina has banned her from the facility.
So then North Carolina, later this morning, came out with a statement. And here's, again, what I believe is going on. Now that this is out, they put out a statement saying, no, she is, of course, allowed at the facility. Now, she's going to be handling Bill's marketing and branding things, but she's allowed. Mike, I think this is a cover-yourself situation where this information got out. They maybe didn't expect it to get out as quickly as it did. Apparently, Pablo, man, he had this for a while and was just waiting because of all the sources that he had to come out with it. But, Mike, here's another quick story about Jordan Hudson. You guys remember that Super Bowl commercial, the donuts commercial? It was a Dunkin' Donuts
where
commercial.
Where Bill makes, he's in the cameo with Ben Affleck and Jordan Hudson.
She wanted to be in it. She apparently showed up dressed in a bikini wanting to be in this. The Dunkin' Donut folks, they're filming. This is on the Super Bowl commercial. If you don't believe me, go watch it. You can see it on YouTube. Mike, they apparently put a camera on her and told her, all right, you're going to be in this. They didn't film it, and she was not in it. The reason why I bring this up is it's another story of her infringing, all right, her wants, her needs into a situation where it's Ben Affleck and Bill Belichick. It's New England. They're supposed to be the stars, and yet she said, well, I thought I was going to be in the commercial. That information got out. So, Mike, this stuff about UNC, I totally believe Pablo and his reporting. By the way, credible, okay? And his podcast is all about investigating stuff and then putting it out there. That's what he does. That's why I believe it.
Because the idea you're going to treat her like a child. No, keep rolling. We're rolling. And they're not even shooting her. Just to kind of placate this overbearing young woman. By all accounts, that's what you're getting. The folks in North Carolina have got to be like going, what have we signed up? I know I say that to you every time we talk about Belichick. What have we gotten ourselves into?
But they're acting like, oh, no big deal. Of course she's allowed at the facility. Who would even have a conversation like this?
Right.
Unless you were concerned. So.
Hey, crazy story. We didn't really dive into this in Guy Talk because there's really no fun and humorous angle, but it's worth talking about. First off, I was blown away a lack of media coverage in the John Elway episode in the golf cart, where he's driving in a residential area and his longtime friend and agent, Jeff Spurback, is tossed from the golf cart and has, now the coroner's report is out, died of accidental blunt head trauma. Mm. Now, anybody who's in a community like Peachtree City, everybody's got golf carts, and it's funny, you know, we talk about kids behind the wheel of cars, I got to tell the kids not to go crazy with the golf carts, because, you know, if you're monkeying around, and hey, who hasn't been on a golf tournament while you're having some fun and you're doing the Indy 500 on the golf cart, and obviously somebody could fall off and bad things happen. The Riverside County Sheriff's Office telling the LA Times on Friday that the Bureau made the determination just days after the passing. It was on April 30th, adding the death has also been ruled an accident. Final report in the case expected to be released once the toxicology is out. Initial report said nobody was drinking. It's hard to believe they're driving a golf cart late at night in a residential community and there wasn't a few pops involved. If I'm honest.
I look, just
thinking out loud.
I don't know what happened. It was a curious story, to say the least. And when that first happened, you're right. It wasn't a whole lot of coverage on it.
They say that John Elway has literally been beside himself.
Of course.
And is disconsolate, was not out in public, and had to release a statement, obviously, but really has lost it over this.
Well, Mike, because it's such a freak accident, right? I had a friend. And by the way, you own a cart. You guys know this. The carts that most folks own are way faster than the carts you get at the golf course.
Okay? Right.
So they're just faster. Bigger batteries, whatever.
The folks down at Peachtree City, you should see some of these bad boys are rolling around.
I see them all the time.
Insane.
And so my guy's driving, and a guy I play with, his name's Tim, they hit one of these algae patches, right? Oh. It had rained, and then like it was, so it's slippery. And they're trying to turn, and nobody had been drinking. And he takes this turn, and the cart goes up on two wheels, and slams down on Tim's side.
Dang.
And so, like, the next time I saw him, this is all scratched up, his right side, his knee. And I'm like, what's going on? He's like, oh, you know, Bob's cart fell over. And you're like, you start making the jokes to Mike's point. Oh, who was drinking?
Right.
And it was just one of those freak things. I can only imagine how John Elway feels about this. And those guys were great friends.
Yeah, and it's, again, lifelong buddies. He was only 62.
Mm.
I mean, think about that. I mean, so anyway, I got to be honest. I'm not trying to cast aspersions, but the first time I saw that, I was like, well, a lot of stuff's not making a lot of sense here. We'll get more details, presumably, in the next few days. Hey, one last nugget. We didn't get to this yesterday. Paul Pierce guaranteed the Celtics were going to win game two. So he said if the Celtics get beat by the Knicks, he will walk the 19.5, nearly 20 miles to work to Fox Studios in L.A., and he did it. And showed up a little sweaty and a little worse for wear, but he is a man of his word. And that was kind of cool to see, man, as it went down. Paul Pierce makes good on his promise. There were videos of him on social media, and Paul Pierce apparently wheeled into the studio in a wheelchair, basically as a joke, because he was banged up.
That's so funny. Yeah, the funniest part is he's making this video like he's walking to work. And
right.
He's in a robe and like slippers, and he's like, man, I can't believe the C's got me out here like this. The Celtics.
That was pretty funny. He said he was pushed out of the studio by a wheelchair by a guy dressed up in a dinosaur costume, which is another part of his guarantee.
Yeah, well, you know what? Are you willing to guarantee they win tonight?
Well, I mean, I heard steak today. Steak, you're too close to it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Cha-Cha.
Yeah.
Well, if they don't win it, it's a wrap, because I don't think Jason Tatum's got the huevos to make this thing come together in seven games.
I'm with you, Mike Bell. All right, coming up, guys, we're going to talk to a guy who does have huevos. Steve Koonin.
Yes, I've got them in bunches, big bunches.
Hawks CEO joins us next.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a Friday it's been. Mike mentioned it. We started out at Twin Peaks, had all the intentions to be there, and then some equipment, went crazy, haywire on us. And then so we had to get back to the studio, and we were able to do that. But thank you guys for being here. And as Mike said, just save the date, man. We'll tell you when next time we're going to be out there. You guys know we're out there frequently, and we'll get a chance. I think the next time, Mike, at the end of the month, I think it's like 5:30, Twin Peaks and Kennesaw's, and we're going to be out there. So at the end of the month, is the next time, and then we'll be out at Buffalo's Cafe. We got a lot of different remotes coming up here over the next few weeks. So stay tuned, man, and I'll tell you everything that's going on, including our countdown. And I know it's May, but, Mike, we got the All-Star Game coming this year to Truist Park. And so we're going to be doing some stuff in and around the All-Star Game as well. We're excited to let you in on that. I do want to remind you our Father's Day promotion that's going on, man. Go to our website, sign up, tell us why you want to bring that someone special. It doesn't, again, have to be necessarily your father. It's just anybody who's had an impact on your life. And if it's a son, you want to take your dad or vice versa, however. But you got to go to the website, 92.9 The Game, and make sure you put in your entry, guys, because there are limited seats.
Right. It'll be a lot of fun. It's become one of our really cool events, changing the venue this time around. We've done some great jobs. The first couple with a Buckhead Butcher Shop, but we're looking forward to a new venue and can't wait, guys. And it's one of those things Carl and I talk about, the connection that sometimes it's a mother and a son if dad's not there, or a father and a son, father and daughter. We had fathers and daughters at this event as well.
You're right.
For Father's Day. So looking forward to it. And one of the great commonalities that we come through is sports and the connections of sports and father and son. Hey, man, we're waiting on Steve, by the way. We're going to hopefully, he's very busy, because he's an executive in the NBA.
Yes, he is.
But while we're waiting on Steve, we can discuss the odds. There's an article today in the AJC, which basically gets down to what exactly are the odds for us.
What are they?
Well, the same as last year. 3% chance to get number one.
Okay, so we could get number one.
We could.
Okay.
We could have Connor Flagg.
That would we that pick won't belong to us. I think we have to move it based on the deals that we've done.
Right. Is it Sacramento?
Yes.
If they get it, we don't get it. If it's a top five, we don't get it.
Correct. Correct. So that's the kicker to all of that. And it's
I said Connor Cooper Flagg.
Cooper Flagg. Yeah, but it's like we could get it, and then we probably won't. But that would be the irony, Mike. Is that in a year where we go, man, we need some sauce, we need some extra. And that lands our way.
Well, if you watch that Celtics, that Boston, Celtics City, and the idea that not once but twice they're banking on the lottery and it doesn't go their way, same boat basically. The Hawks, of course, as we know, are in it because we're not in the playoffs and we got knocked out. But the number one overall pick, best chance, 14% goes to the teams with the worst three records. That's the Utah Jazz, the Wizards, and the Charlotte Hornets.
Let's talk to Steve Koonin. Steve Koonin, do you think Draymond Green is drawing these technicals because there is an agenda? Okay, don't answer that. How are you, sir? How are you doing?
I'm good. That's an interesting question.
It is, right? Because Draymond was upset after drawing another tech where he's like, there's an agenda. They're making me out to be this crazy guy. Mike, he kind of is, isn't he? I mean, that's how Draymond acts sometimes.
Yeah, and I know that race got into it on some of the ESPN shows and other guys. But, I mean, to me, it doesn't have to be racial. It can be just Bill Laimbeer was a jerk. Draymond is a jerk.
You can be crazy.
I mean, sometimes he goes a little cuckoo. Rodman was that way. But Laimbeer, if you want to make it a white guy thing so you can compare and contrast, you don't have to go down that road. I think he gets caught up in the emotion. It's almost like, and Steve, I know because I've been that guy too from time to time. You want unhinged? I'll give you unhinged.
I actually think it's all part of his plan. I think he wants people to think he's unhinged.
Right.
And I think he's trying to take people out of their game. And I think the Pistons, the Bad Boys, are a beautiful analogy to this. I think everything Draymond does is calculated. I think he's incredibly bright. I think he knows what he's doing. I also think he gets away with more than any player in the league. I mean, I think it was game one. They showed a close-up of him just F-bombing the ref. That was nuts. And then we see Trey, who makes a look at somebody, and he's out of the game.
It's true. This is true. Now, Steve Koonin, you're right about that, because that's the issue that I have. And then when he stands up to say something, it's like, oh, he's being disrespectful. Are you serious? Like, are you watching Luka? Are you watching Draymond? I totally agree with you. Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO. All right, let me ask you this, because this is how I feel. And look, if you're a casual NBA fan and this is the time that you watch, these games have been entertaining. These playoffs have been. Who had the Knicks up in their series? Who had Indiana up on Cleveland? Like, this has been fun.
Both of those series combined have had 3 20-point fourth quarter comebacks. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. So I don't know what's going on, but it's kind of, why are the teams in the lead falling apart like that? Well, what did the Knicks outscore them, like 38-19 in the fourth quarter and beat the Celtics at home?
Yeah. I mean, look, right. the comebacks by the Knicks. And here's the thing. to say that the Celtics are the better team, do I feel like they are? Yeah. But they haven't won these games. It comes down to these clutch plays, and it felt like the Celtics right now, they're just tight.
You know, even though we're family radio, I think the sphincter tightens for the Knicks starting tomorrow.
Oh.
Because you go back to Boston tied 2-2, you're not going to win this series.
No, you're right.
The Knicks have to win at least one.
I just think, honestly, Tatum, we know he's a star and one of the highest, if the highest paid guy in the league, if not. But it's just sometimes I wonder from a leadership standpoint. We joked around about LeBron famously years ago in Cleveland with Dave Blatt, the coach from Israel, going, no, he drew up a play. I squashed it. I just like to see somebody at Boston go, you know, coach, we can get to the rack. We don't have to settle for 3-point shots. And it kind of, the larger picture, maybe, Steve, it'll be a reckoning for all the stupid analytics nonsense, which drives some people crazy of the regular season games of end-to-end clanging threes.
Yeah, and I also think Tatum might be hurt worse than we thought in the Orlando series. He hurt his wrist, and if you remember, I think missed game three. So he might have a little hitch in his giddy up. And then, you know, when Anthony Edwards went down last night, I was like, oh, no, Steph and Edwards out. No. So I'm hoping. I don't know how you come back from a hamstring. I don't know how you play till you're 37 years old and have never pulled a hamstring before. I pulled my hamstring getting into the car. So, you know, it's kind of remarkable. But if Steph doesn't come back, that series is probably over.
How are you guys viewing? Mike just was talking to me about the draft lottery. We got a 3%, you know, chance of getting that first pick. But for those folks.
No, we don't.
Well, right.
No. That's wrong.
Well,
if Sacramento gets the first pick, we don't get the pick.
Right.
I was going to explain that.
Please, Steve.
But
no,
I was going
to. Bad.
I was going to say, Hawks currently have 2 first round picks.
If.
But, yes, but no chance for the first pick in the draft.
Okay.
No chance this year.
The pick
best
is
we
gonna,
can be is 13th.
The pick is going to head to the Spurs. That's part of the compensation, one of them at least.
Which is 14th.
Right, which is DeJounte Murray. The other pick, right, is from the
Sacramento?
Kings for the Kevin Herter deal. And so as we lay this out, just saying, that's why when you read this and you see it, guys get, oh, man, we got a chance. So say that again, Steve, so everybody's clear. The lowest we could pick.
The protections with Sacramento were 1 through 12. They retained the pick. Until the lottery's held Monday night, nobody has the official draft order. Sacramento has a 3% chance of it landing in the top 4. And if they do, we don't get the pick, and it reverts to second-round picks next year, which is not what we want.
No, that's not.
We have a 97% chance of that conveying to us, and that's what we want.
Okay. So, and if that happens, then we would pick at what? What? At least right
13th
now.
13th and 22nd is what the statistics say we have a 90-plus percent chance of doing.
Okay.
So 13th and 22nd, 22nd being the Lakers pick via New Orleans.
And we package that and go get Zion.
Steve, by the way, as an NBA official, not a referee, but a guy who works in the league, he can't comment, Carl.
Oh,
other
my
players
bad.
In the roster.
My bad. I'm sorry.
And by the way,
that's what fans keep telling me.
If we bring, why?
That's what they keep telling me.
You guys, stop talking about Zion again. If we're going to get him here, he's going to miss 50 games a year. Steve, don't comment on this. But I mean, it's a waste of time.
Don't worry.
It's amazing how people just fixate on the names.
Yeah.
You know, the names.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. When he's healthy, the production is great, but he's never healthy.
Well, Mike, I'm sorry. I apologize. We're going to package those picks and go get Kevin Durant. What?
Yes. No, that's.
This is the other thing I keep hearing.
No, we actually have
What people need to understand in the NBA, you have to trade equivalent salaries.
Right.
So two picks have zero salary attached to them. Kevin Durant is $56
million.
So. Well, that would be some fine draft pick.
There's a tall guy in Minnesota and a tall guy on Indiana. And one guy has a player options, but I would love to see some height. You know, a 5. We can talk about that, Steve. I would love to see a rim protector and then, you know, give double O just kind of play the 4.
That probably will be much more realistic in free agency and trades
okay.
with hopefully some help from the draft. But again, I don't see another rookie breaking into our starting lineup, but hey, you never know.
No, it's a great point. All right, Steve Kuhn and Hawks CEO, we got about 90 seconds here left with you. We get a chance to talk to him each and every week, guys, throughout the offseason, because really the NBA, like the NFL, doesn't stop. We're talking about the draft lottery. We'll be talking about the draft before you know it, the NBA finals all the way through, and then the offseason gets very interesting. There is no other league, including the NFL, that has more movement than the NBA. And you're going to see it again this offseason, which gets us to, you know, the question Mike's talking about. Where are we in our search for a new president of basketball ops?
So we have had 9 interviews over the past 2 weeks. And one of the things you have to understand is, like, why is it taking so long? Well, if you want to speak to somebody who is with another team, you have to get permission. Remember, these other 29 teams are our partners. You don't just go raiding their roster of people.
Okay.
Number one, if you want to talk to people who are still in the playoffs, usually they'll say you can have permission to talk, but it's after the playoffs. We're making real progress. We've met some really interesting people. We've had some great conversations. Everyone is enamored with these three young wings that we have, and Dyson, Zachary, and Jalen Johnson. And so there have been real fruitful conversations, but, you know, we've got to do it right. And there's a lot of people we want to talk to who won't be available for a few days or so, possibly a week or two. So that's as transparent and honest as I can be.
All right. So as we said, we've talked about it. I mean, again, I could put words in Steve's mouth, but talk to some guys from some teams who've done some interesting things quickly and have found the right pieces, and they've done it, you know, and because, you know, the old knock, Steve, was if you don't get it right, the Sixers, the process, it just seems like it could take a decade to get it right. So we're hopefully getting the right guys in here, because we've got a core.
We're not rebuilding.
No, we've got a core.
We're not rebuilding.
Right. And no, you're just going to accentuate the positive.
Exactly. Do you want to sing that song together?
You got to accent. Come on, Carl. Accentuate the positive. No deal. Miss the negative.
There you go.
It's a good song, too.
Right on.
Steve Kuhnin, thank you.
Lyricist.
Next week, we sing Woody Guthrie with Steve Kuhnin.
Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you soon, guys. And by the way,
happy Mother's Day to everybody.
Yes, right, absolutely. On. You too, your wonderful wife as well. Thank you, Steve.
Take care.
All right. That's Steve Kuhnin, Hawks CEO. Steve Kuhnin, no. Steve, calm down. We're going to get to it. Let me finish.
You don't understand. We don't get those picks.
No.
Please. That's erroneous. Now I'm very upset.
We are picking 13th. All right. Hey, man, coming up, Flowery Branch today. Rookies on the field, the most interesting thing that was said. And you need to hear it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.